everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. Lots of white-pilling stuff happening across the country. The trans movement has reached its peak. I had said this a couple of months ago, and I think that we're seeing this movement losing momentum. There are some states that are positioning clearly against it. I mean, look at this. This is in Louisiana. They pass a law that makes it illegal for teachers to hide a child's gender transition from parents. Makes total sense from a medical consent perspective, parental rights perspective. I don't know why it would be not like this anywhere. Where would you want to hide to the person who's legally entitled to make those decisions for a non-consenting minor? Why would it be that on the question of trans, suddenly all the laws fall? And look at the trans people in the audience pissed off that the law has passed.
As amended favorably to the House floor by a 7-5 vote. Is it?
Appreciate your time, committee.
Is there a motion to adjourn? Thank you.
Fuck y'all! Fuck it!
As amended favorably to the House floor.
Super emotional. You lost. You lost and you deserve to lose. You are an extreme minority trying to impose on the rest of society in total disregard for their pre-existing rights, the tools for your progression, for your propaganda to penetrate the next generation without our knowledge. Thank God there is a fight back and there is a pushback on this. And eventually, I hope that the states that do this, like Louisiana, simply become more attractive to live in, and people are rewarded, their house gains more value, and eventually you realize that leftism truly rots a society to the point of making things less attractive for any family. Speaker's Corner says, Jeff, I wish you would wait 1 minute after the start of the stream until it starts. I always miss the beginning. Well, I kind of do this indirectly because I packaged a lot of self-contained small news segments at the beginning. So in a way, it's like you'll never miss the main subject of the show or the most important news to me. So I really place intentionally at the beginning of the show news that I can run in 30 seconds, 1 minute, and so that people have the time to connect. That being said, I am totally against those people who put a long waiting period at the beginning of their show. Because the reality is a lot of people watch the show after the live, and for these people, it's absolute nonsense that they would have to go through losing 10 minutes of music or whatever I put there just to get to the content. See, so my philosophy is that a product must be a full product, a video product that is consumable in the most efficient way. And I cannot, because some people are late on the live, delay everyone's life for it. Because think of it in terms of, suppose I would put just 1 minute of useless content. 1,000 people listening to it, that's 1,000 minute lost of human life. I don't want to do this. I don't want to be like 99% of the streamer who do exactly this. Spindly Opinion says, if I catch up if I miss the start at 1.5x. That is a solution. Definitely you can do that. Big Tech Exodus says, it would be cool if a streamer could choose to give early notifications like 5 minutes in advance. Yes, in my case, it's not super needed because I always start at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Unless there's a very rare event of delay, I'm here at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Puzim says, I'm on a leather couch provided by JF during his lives. Just costed me 10 euros of chat tip 2 years ago. I don't understand. You paid me 10 euros, and you bought a leather couch for the same price? I don't understand what you're saying there. But anyways, I'm happy that you are on a couch. Quebec, Kansas says, Jeff, do you raise chicken and what kind? I don't raise chicken. I want to get there, but I need some building before I get there. And so my priority is finishing the greenhouse and eventually starting a second building where the farming can happen. Go Away says, I always watch JF at 1.5x, even when live. I just pause the show for 30 seconds, then play for 1 minute, so on and so forth. Well, that may have generated, Go Away, your weird cognition. You may have damaged your brain permanently by doing this. Meanwhile, in Montana, House Republicans ban Representative Zoe Zephyr from House Chamber for remainder of legislative session. Oh my God, the leftists are going to be like, this is another Holocaust. The silencing of a trans politician. The problem is that this trans politician has said, because they were passing a law, that was restricting transgender rights and rallied protesters Monday. There were rallied protesters, protesting against this law. And this person, this trans person, has started saying to the politicians, you'll have blood on your hands, and whenever you go pray at night, I hope that you look down on your hands as they gather and see the blood that's on it. And it's an attack on Christian practices of other politicians. Second, it's a claim that is unjustified, that somehow because they make laws that make it illegal to do child transitions and that kind of stuff. That they are killing people. They are not murderers. They are people who are organizing the state of rights in our society. And so I think it's totally fine that she gets banned. It's rare that we get this kind of thing because people are like in a loose democracy with free speech and everything. We tend to think that politicians can say whatever they want. But the fact is, in an assembly, you are speaking to people. You are forcing them to listen to you. And so the fact is that you don't have fully free speech in an assembly because it can be the decision of people not to be submitted to your speech. And we've talked about this a lot, the liberty of speak versus the liberty of hearing and the liberty of not hearing. And that's what's at play here. I don't think it's illegal. I don't think it violates her First Amendment right. She will still be able to vote on the laws, but the politicians, the Republicans, have decided that they wouldn't hear her anymore. Dan Simon says, has your ground thawed yet, Jeff? Yeah, I mean, the snow has disappeared mostly, and it's not thawed to the point where I could plant something, but it's... It's thawed to the point where I can start working with a shovel and things like this. So that is the current state. But I cannot plant before June. And anyway, this year I'm not planting. This year I am concentrating on building. Quebec Census says, Jeff, your thoughts on dogs co-evolving with humans? Also, psilocybe fungus being a revolutionary phenotype using humans or vice versa. Any case of life forms using other life forms is not a revolutionary phenotype. It's a farmer-pig relationship. So at best, if you were to see the mushrooms as using humans, it would be definitely a farmer-cow relationship. That is two life forms existing beside each other, but evolving each according to their own interest. So no, it's not a revolutionary phenotype. The revolutionary phenotype must have not only live in proximity of the genes, it must be produced by the genes, and it must be able to kill the genes while surviving. Farmer-cow's relationships do not meet those standards. A life form can, a farmer can disappear, a cow can disappear, but they are selected out. they cannot be killed by the other entity while the other entity benefits from it and while the other entity has been initially created by it. Those are the standards for a phenotypic revolution. And it's very different. It's a very different system looking at the two. Marco Staffir says, when are you going to build a log cabin? I don't see any reason to build a log cabin. I mean, in a way, my storage spaces, my little sheds that I did last year, I produced a shed for logs. You can think of it as a log cabin. It's more like a lumber cabin, but it's a floor made of lumber and sides made of lumber and a roof made of lumber. But I don't see the point of having a log cabin, especially not in the cold winter that we have here. Based Elon Musk? Interrogation mark. Elon Musk is pretty strong on the trans question. He ends this reply today by saying, by the way, I regard cisgender as a slur. That is pretty based. It's for someone who's not right wing, of course, for you and I, we could argue, we could say this or not think this, and it really doesn't matter. But that Elon considers the state of normality to be a male with a penis and a female with a vagina is predominant enough that underscoring it with a term is insulting. I think he's touching on something very important here, and it helps you realize just how much this issue matters to Elon. Of course, we've said it before, he has a child who has been raised away from him by a Canadian artistic woman who turned that child, probably through her propaganda and education, into a trans child. A trans child who has been very insulting to Elon. And if I was Elon, given the insults made to Elon and the attack of this child toward Elon, I would simply make sure that this person never inherits any wealth from me. But Elon Musk says the Swedish study says sex reassigned transsexual persons of both genders had approximately a 3 times higher risk of all-cause mortality than controls. If we take as given that the other study 2 to 3x suicide rate is correct, then doing surgery or chemical sterilization on minors gains nothing in reduced mortality. My position is simply that we should wait until an individual is mature enough to make their own decisions before other adults make permanent, serious physical changes to them. The counter to my position would be that if we don't make the changes when they're a minor, they may never reach adulthood due to suicide. However, that counter argument does not hold water if mortality is essentially unchanged, which it is. By the way, I regard cisgender as a slur. Very important statements by Elon here. And yes, it is time we evaluate based on outcomes. We never get this from the leftists. We always get that story that, if they don't transition, they will commit suicide. But do we give me data that shows that they won't? Give me data that shows that you solve their issue. Because that's not what I see at all. Bloomberg Live, someone sends this link on climate deniers. Let's see what this is about. John Podesta, holy shit.
Do you spend a lot of time talking to climate change deniers?
Well, I encounter climate change deniers. I mean, it's kind of like, I say, you know, at this point, you really...
I mean, the guy has vampire teeth, just in case you weren't shocked enough at the email release that has exposed all of his dealings for the Democrat Party. He has grown vampire teeth.
Really just have to open the window and look outside. to know that climate change is happening, and it's happening in a way.
You can feel, you can feel climate change. Just open the window, you're going to know that. Oh my God. I mean, I cannot, let me tell you. And I'm a very observing human being. You know, I'm precise. I have very good memory. I remember a lot of things from my life. But remembering a time where it was less warm on the earth, no. It's always been that April, you know, the snow melts, and in October, November, the snow starts falling. Millionaire Rose is on the chat. He says, the denier slur, why are we supposed to know and believe in this thing and thus condemn ourselves by denying it? Fuck this. Yeah, you're right. The very concept of denier is ridiculous. First, because it's the default position of science. A good scientist is someone willing to deny anything in infinite ways. Like, never give up the denial until you've exhausted all possible alternative explanations, and until you've really countered it with your best, your most aggressive attempt at questioning the current state of knowledge. That is what true science is, and it's 99% denial. True science is what survives the ultimate denial of everything. Big Tech Exodus says, suddenly JF knows how to identify vampires. Yes, go away, says JF. The real counter is that the younger you transition, the better you will pass as the gender you are transitioning to. The leftists won't admit this because it reveals the adherence to gender stereotypes that ironically underpin their whole thinking. Yes, I know that the leftists have this conception that transition must happen in childhood, because if you can avoid the horror of puberty for these people, that's what I was seeing from the Brian Krashenstein Twitter post today. They're trying to take the natural event that puberty is and say, you cannot stay silent in front of this act of violence, this non-consented to puberty that's just about to fall on your child's head. They're taking what would be the natural course of the human body, and they are trying to put it into a moral box of, hey, if you do nothing, that's as bad as doing the puberty. That's as bad as imposing the puberty on your child. And it is so disgusting, because that's what the leftists are about all the time. All the time they are trying to take something that is natural and that should be there, just out of pure natural considerations, including the fact that puberty is a necessary step to get to your reproductive age, and they want to undermine it. And to undermine it, they start characterizing non-action as an action that is subject to moral evaluation. So suddenly you're a terrible parent because you have let nature hit your child with a non-consented puberty. Everything in development is not consented to. Do you consent that your arms are going to get that long? Do you consent that you're going to have eyes? Do you consent that you're going to have ears? And the people who don't consent to these things, they get placed in a psychiatric hospital. Like, there are clear psychiatric disorders, like the conviction that your arm is not yours, that exists in psychiatry. There are people who will cut their arms because they're so convinced that it's not theirs. The people who are convinced that they are blind. Whenever you have this impression that what nature imposed on you has not been consented to, and you revolt to the point of self-destruction against it, That is in all domains a psychiatric disorder, except this civil rights fight that the left is trying to pursue as it relates to sexual organ. And one should ask why. Why this obsession stems specifically? Why isn't there a big and large support movement of leftism for the people who want to be blind, who identify as blind? And they are asking their doctors, is there a safe way you could fuck up my eyes? They literally have all of the characteristics of gender dysphoria, but for the eyes. Why isn't there a leftist movement for this, where they would be saying, look, it's because society is expecting them to see, and we have to change our expectations of them. There are people who are just born blind, and their eyes are an impediment to their life. What are we waiting for to help them? And something tells me that the reason the push exists only in the sexual domain is because the leftists are in a genocidal project that they may really understand and know about. They may know that it is in their interest to stop natural reproduction in humanity and take control of it. A movie comes out, Adult Human Female, it's called. It's a movie that features far left super feminist TERFs. These feminists who are against the trans domination of their feminism, basically, because they see it as yet one more expression of the patriarchy, because this is the point where leftism reaches self-destruction, and this is the point where finally, as right-wingers, you can just open up a beer, take a bag of popcorn, and just enjoy. See them fight it out.
That constantly prioritizes the needs of male people over the needs of female people. It's called patriarchy.
So in the past, there were liberation movements like gay liberation, which really got going around the time I went to university. I was a student, and we were, you know, women like me were incredibly supportive of gay men and lesbians because we thought rightly that they didn't have their full rights. This is very different because this is a movement which is asking to take rights away from other women.
No civil rights movement in history has asked for rights as members of another class of people. That is unprecedented.
There's a very, very clear clash of rights. The trans ideology completely denies that, but I think it's actually dishonest to say anything other than this is an attempt at a wholesale taking over of women's rights.
The trans rights movement is asking for the rights of another class of people, and then claiming that if we do not give them the rights of another class of people, that they are being oppressed. That's unprecedented. And it turns out that the rights of the people they're asking for are themselves an oppressed class.
This is beautiful. This is absolutely beautiful. Because these leftists don't understand, or they try not to understand that by defining everything around oppression, you have made oppression desirable. And so you have made it so desirable that effectively the oppressed is above everyone else in our society. The oppressed, because they're a female, will have a better shot at a job. The oppressed, because of their race, will have the special employment and affirmative action opportunities or affirmative action in school selection. So the oppressed has become the desirable state. And so, of course, females being extremely desirable in our society because of they are needed for reproduction, of course, there are people who want to LARP as females. Because on top of their initial biological desirability, on top of it, we have built a whole society of privileges for them. And so a normal guy looks at this and he's not desired, he's maybe socially awkward, and he realizes if I was to become a female, if I was to become a trans female, trans woman, I could get some of that attention. I could get some of those oppression points.
And that the members of the group that are demanding those rights are members of the dominant class. So what we have...
So she cannot help but see patriarchy in this attempt. It is to her nothing else than a man trying to steal her progress. That's not even how I see it. I really don't care about the male-female dynamic here. I think it's just an attack on reproduction, and that should be enough for us to fight it. Adair got into a fight. Oh my God. This Adair. Oops, sorry. There was a high volume. I love everything. Fires. This Adair is wearing the head of another Adair that he fought with. This guy ripped the other Adair's head. And he's wearing it as a trophy. Holy shit, that must be quite popular on the dating market in Deers. You are wearing the head of the deer you just killed, just in case there would be doubt about your malehood. Wow. I don't know how he's going to remove it. Wow. Dino Lugovic says he's looking at me. I'm scared. Must smell terrible. I mean, not necessarily because it's so cold. He's walking in the snow. At less than 0 degrees Celsius, you're not going to have that much smell. And especially, you know, the head, you know, as the blood flows out of it, there's not much tissue there to go really bad. And I'm sure it's going to fall eventually. Because it's going to dry out. When it dries out, it will lose water. It loses a lot of volume. And it's going to be easier for the deer to remove it. There are so many cases of police going easy on people. And this one is the contrary. And I love to see this. I love to see a nice arrest of a disturbing student. So apparently this student was, I don't know, giving trouble to the school. Being disruptive, and the school at some point had no choice because she didn't want to leave her desk. The school had no choice to call either a police or security guard to get her out. And look at how efficient this guy is on her attempt to resist the arrest. I love this combination of judo and school practice where he's basically making a judo move on her while doing it also to the desk. And I love how he carries her just to a clean area where he can arrest her without her bumping onto the desk or whatever. Absolutely efficient. You can see that, you know, once she has resisted, he knows that she's not going to cooperate. So don't give her a chance to position herself to make it more difficult. Just you go straight, you see an opening, you get her out of the desk. Absolutely beautiful. Go Away says, this video is old, JF. I was still in elementary school when I first saw this video. I don't know. I'm sure it's old. It does look old, but I was happy to see it. I was happy to see that sometimes an arrest is well done. Eric Vayner has a very good thinking here. He says, here's a complete list of women who I am responsible for. One, those who submit to my authority. Very important. When these women start drifting away and they start not being caring for the family life and they start being unproductive. They don't want to reproduce. They lose their time. They become inefficient. You are not responsible for them anymore. Just let them starve. Let them freeze in the cold. They don't deserve your services, and it has to be restored. This whole idea that I'm a provider to you as long as you are productive and efficient in our life. If you drift away from that state, I have zero obligations for you, and I hope that eventually the cold bites strong enough that you recover and you re-become someone desirable. RNC Research says Biden used the cheat sheet at today's press conference with a reporter's question written on it. Look at this. It's all pre-written scripts. Question number one. This reporter from the Los Angeles Times, and we're going to circle it. We're going to print her face so that you can recognize it. Say her name. There's even a, how do I say her name? Subrumanian. 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 It is all scripted crap. This was not the philosophy behind the First Amendment and the idea of a strong press calling out our politicians. It wasn't that you would have all prepared scripts where you know what questions she's going to ask. You've pre-approved it. You got your team to pre-approve it. Absolutely doesn't make sense. Matt Binder says, Twitter removed the Jake Shields tweet about public executions of doctors and teachers regarding trans kids. So apparently the trans community of Twitter was frustrated at a tweet that they said it was calling for the public execution of trans folks. The tweet was arguing. the tweet was arguing that there should be, we should discuss the death penalty for people violating the law. In this case, people, you know, forcing a child without parental consent and without the children being able to consent, that they should be executed. But Twitter has handled this by making it disappear. But they even made it disappear on people who were quote tweeting him, or people who had photographed the original tweet. Look, it's like, I've always been very alarmed at the fact that that a discussion around execution is considered an appeal to violence on certain internet platforms. In fact, most of them. Because here's the problem. Public executions still exist in America. It's a legal thing. So we could have a legitimate philosophical or political debate around, hey, should the death penalty be given for this crime or that crime? And unfortunately, some platforms on the internet have decided that they would call this an appeal to violence, but only when it suggests something around some communities and not some others. So in the end, you find yourself with a philosophical debate allowed on the death penalty, but not the death penalty when it touches certain subjects that the leftists are sensitive to. That is unfairness. That is double standard right in your face. So let's talk about my title of the thumbnail. Abby Grossberg may or may not be the reason Fox fired Tucker, but her fantastic apparition on the timeline serves to remind us that it wasn't history or capital that dehumanized the American workplace and forced men and spirited women to spend 8+ hours of each day in a state of joyless, lifeless, jokeless pain, suffering, and quiet desperation, banished of the banter and libido that makes time pass and life worth living. It was a foolish and cowardly social submission to the will of creatures like Abby Grossberg. Beautifully said by this Armenian guy. I'm going to follow him on Twitter. that is exactly what's been happening. The corporate world was sterilized. It was sterilized. It was made infertile. There are places that I've started banning even having sex with your coworkers and employees, even outside the workplace. Makes zero sense. We have destroyed the only interest that you could have had to be in a big corporation, and now it's only like you have to go there, you have to walk on eggs all day because a joke in that direction could offend these people, a joke in that other direction, so you can't do anything. And that's exactly what she's trying to leverage as part of her lawsuit. Now, we learn about this lawsuit that she's never met Tucker Carlson. How can you have been harassed by the hostile work environment created by Tucker Carlson if Tucker Carlson, you've never met him? Now, she is using a magical extrapolation in her lawsuit to make this work. And let's have a look at it. It's that so she claims that Tucker Carlson wasn't the direct person making disparaging comments about her. She claims that Tucker Carlson was approving of a hateful work environment at a distance, you know, remote harassment, telepathic harassment, people are saying on the regular chat. She claims that there was this approval, tacit approval by Tucker, that the other people around her workplace would harass her. Unlawfully subjected Miss Grossberg to a toxic work environment that is hostile to women like her, and that the purpose of the suit is to put an end to the discriminatory and hostile work environment she and other female Fox News employees have had to endure for far, far too long. So how does that lead us to Tucker? It's one of her colleagues. She complained about her treatment to him, and the colleague responded, "We're all under stress. This is Tucker's tone and just the pace of the show." In other words, the suit continues, Mr. Fox was admitting that the misogynistic fish rots from the head down, i.e. Mr. McCaskill behaved towards her in a deplorably discriminatory manner because he was inspired, permitted, and enabled to do so by Mr. Carlson himself. So, we don't even have a recording of a disparaging comment by Carlson. We don't have Tucker trying to grab her ass or treat her obviously discriminatorily. We don't have anything about Tucker. We have this construction in the complainant's head that, oh, well, when I talked about misogyny, and when I started pushing back on the current guest and current tone of the show, I was told by this colleague that, hey, it's the tone of the show of Tucker. That's how it works. So, oh, well, now you're telling me that this is Tucker ordering this misogyny. We're just talking about a woman who was complaining, basically, about the artistic content of Tucker and the mood of the Tucker production. I mean, there's a serious First Amendment problem here. It's that a company has the right to produce a speech. It has the right to produce speech, even if it would have the right to produce misogynistic speech. And if you find the show misogynistic, are you entitled to a work complaint, given that it's the artistic product protected under the First Amendment for Fox News? And for Tucker, because she's not showing that she is being harassed herself. She is just feeling a mood, and she is feeling that Tucker has created this mood and has permitted this mood. So I think it's a lawsuit that will lead to a lot of ridicule if it is maintained. However, I think that perhaps she realizes, I think that perhaps Ms. Grossberg realizes that she has a limited ground here. And I think that given that they've already fired Tucker, she may very well be interested at this lawsuit not happening anymore. Since her goal has been accomplished, she's going to probably try to recuperate a career in kind of an ex-right-wing type of person. She's already been on NBC News. Actually, this interview isn't an interview that she gave about Tucker. That was an interview 3 weeks ago where she was giving an interview about the January 6th lies of Fox News for which they were sued by Dominion. So she's trying to reframe herself on the leftist side, as happens so often with these, these allies that show up from the center, that team up with the right for 1 year, 5 years. She makes me think about Michael Cohen. These people who side by side go with the right for a moment, but at the first opportunity, they switch to the other side and they become storytellers of just how bad the right is. Mark D says, or take the opportunity to make cash from it. The fact he was fired may well help her case. Possibly, if she had a case to begin with. That's the question. Because what I see, it's really all extrapolations. Up to now, she has not provided evidence that convinces me she has a good case at all. Alimer says she's basically saying Tucker's show is the evidence of misogyny and anti-Semitism and whatnot. Exactly. So the guy that was responding, this is Tucker's tone. Clearly, he was talking about the artistic product here. He was saying, look, maybe you don't like it, but this is the business. We produce Tucker's show, and it's going to be Tucker-inspired and Tucker-like. I don't see how you can construe this as discriminatory because of what Tucker says and because it means Tucker is backing up this harassment mood. If you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey Super Chats are my favorite platform to receive support for the show. Alternatively, you can also use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. Japan's iSpace shares crash on lunar lander fall. So I talked about this yesterday, but they've now generated an image of what they think has happened. Basically, somewhere in these steps, instead of landing smoothly, the spacecraft just crashed into the moon. And so it's been destroyed. And last, a collaboration between the Emirate Arab State and Japan. John Drake says, Jonathan Greenblatt will probably recall her back to the ADL home base. Mission accomplished. Exactly. That is definitely, it was a hit and run. So we're still waiting for the run. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Alexander the Great says, very few white boys got hustle. Not a lot got that dog in them. The kind of guy that sees what he wants and takes it. Truth is, when it comes to entrepreneurship, Asians run circles around white guys. I don't know what happened, but the white dude seems to be checked out. I don't agree with this presented that way. I think that what you are talking about is white honesty. And I think that in a world that is degenerating, in a world that is falling, honesty can be disadvantageous. Because yes, this kind of fake it till you make it attitude of the Middle Eastern man and to a certain extent of certain Africans and to Indians and involved in business, this whole idea that hustling, and always be closing will lead you to success, even if you don't deserve success, is a very non-white idea. And I think that the reason, and I agree with the observation, white people are not like this. They're not gonna be aggressively pursuing a just sell for the money making aspect of it. White guys probably are looking at their contribution to society, and they're like, I don't want to be just a parasite. I don't want to be just the guy who ends up making it because he's just a little more pressuring. He's just a little more extorting. He's just a little more forcing something that shouldn't have happened in the free market. The carpet seller, the car salesman type of person. Now, it certainly exists in the white race, but it's not a common behavior. Whereas if you go into the big town, you're going to see just a flow of migrants, brown, semi-brown, black, semi-black, Asian, semi-Asian, and they're all going to be in this hustling mood nonstop, and especially as they court women. White men are not like this, and I don't believe you should say that's a problem. I believe you should see this as a great advantage of white people. It may be disadvantageous in a falling world where everyone has to scrape for the bottom of the barrel, but I think it's what leads to great white societies. The fact that we're not out there to crash everything, to succeed ourselves at the cost of everything else around us, we have decency and honesty. And sometimes that means understanding that your contribution to the world doesn't deserve much. You're setting carpets, you shouldn't be rich. Cindy Liu says, white men have been put at a disadvantage by their governments and society for years. Absolutely. Didorogovich says, cooperation is discouraged and not fruitful as before. And DK Shadow says, there's a lot of bottom to scrape. Yeah, I mean, I have some hustling attitude. Like, I try to apply it wisely, and I apply it to something that I truly believe in, which is the revolutionary phenotype. I truly believe that this is a very important scientific theory, and you'll see me hustle in terms of trying to push that book. But I think that as a white man, I wouldn't hustle on anything. I wouldn't want to be a successful car salesman. I wouldn't want to be a successful carpet salesman. And there is this thing in the immigrant mentality that, oh yeah, it doesn't matter, you know, I'm going to do anything. I wouldn't do anything. Because success in and of itself, success that is not worth it for the rest of society, that doesn't improve the world, is much less charming to me, much less interesting. I'd rather be an employee instead of reaching that kind of hustling success. Puzim says, JF is the nicest sociopath I know of. Thank you. A new feature for Twitter. The leftists will have an occasion to get rid of their free blue check that Elon gave to the accounts that have more than a million followers. So it seems that Elon has basically given the blue check for free to all accounts that have 1 million followers or more. I don't fully like it. I would have preferred that he dunks on them and just destroys their Twitter account and gives them zero exposure until they pay the $8 begging for it. I would have preferred this, but I'm different than Elon, you know? I'm a guy of full punishment, radical punishment. It's like, I don't negotiate. You're trying to leverage on me here. Stay in the dungeon for 5 years. Let's see how you do when you come out. But I know that Elon is more of a social man, and he's less of a radical idealist. So Elon has decided that, hey, giving that free $8 to people who have more than 1 million followers. First, it's fair because I have a arbitrary threshold that I've defined. It's everyone who has more than 1 million followers. Secondly, it allows us to dampen the whole revolution that's happening on Twitter by leftists who are pissed at Elon's blue checkmark project. So it allows us to kind of include everyone who's paying in a larger club of leftists who have accepted this blue check for free. It basically allows us to take the prestige of the Hollywood people and the stars that have more than 1 million followers and kind of project it down to the true blue Twitter blue subscribers. So I think that from a social perspective and from a non-radical perspective, and that's how you have to interpret everything that Elon does, I think it makes sense. I just would have done differently because I hate humans. Like, if I owned Twitter and you're on Twitter arguing you shouldn't pay JF $8, I would be banning them. I would be like, okay, you're never going to get a blue check mark. But I'm just a vengeful guy, you know. Elon Musk just exited Schumer's office. We talked about AI and the economy. Go away raises an important question. He says, Jeff, you said the other day that you don't believe in paying for streaming services such as Rumble because you are providing the content and they should find a way to monetize it. Why do you feel differently about Twitter? Surely at least people with 1 million plus followers deserve free checkmark. I believe differently simply because Twitter has a different history where it was taken from us. And I'm eternally grateful to Elon Musk to giving it back to the internet. And I know that Elon Musk, to do this, had to throw away $44 billion. I mean, it's more money than I can ever pay, even if I was to subscribe. If I was to subscribe to Twitter Blue for the next 100 million years, then I would still not have paid back what I owe to Elon. Because he threw $44 billion. And to me, my subscription to Twitter Blue, and I also subscribe to Elon Musk's Twitter channel. It allows me to send him even more money. To me, that is, I'm doing the same thing as Elon. I'm following my model. I'm following my hero. He threw money out the window. I'm throwing money back into the window. And it's simply because Twitter was taken from us, and it took a man who saw the breach of principles in that more important than his own money, more important than his entire asset, you know, because he gave himself into this. 44, buying a public company as an individual, it basically never happens. Isn't it the, I guess we would have to check in history and everything, but isn't it the biggest economic transaction to ever happen? Like in a single shot, in a single merge? Perhaps there are some big corporations merging together that would qualify as bigger. I don't know. But it certainly, it was a magical and powerful move that he did. Burning money for free speech. Because he could have started another alternative platform, but he said, no, I'm going to send a signal. I'm going to totally buy Twitter as it stands. That was so beautiful that it's why I accept to pay, because I would have paid in a single shot. If I could have sent $2,000 to Elon to help him do this, but another alternative is that I'll pay for the rest of my life, and that way I hope that I contribute to Elon eventually being in the green for that decision. That would be the beautiful thing to me, that in 10 years from now, we can look back and Elon has grown more than $44 billion from this decision. Twitter could be something very powerful if it becomes the vision of Elon around X, the everything app. That would be beautiful. Go Away says the largest ever acquisition was the 1999 takeover of Men's Men by Vodafone AirTouch PLC at $183 billion. $297 billion adjusted for inflation. Well, there it is. This seems bigger indeed. But we're talking about big companies taking each other. Elon, what was spectacular about it is that it was a huge amount for an individual. An individual doing this, quite fascinating. There appears to be a deal. McCarthy says GOP has enough votes for a debt limit package. And in fact, later today, we have learned that the debt roof has been put high again, so extended again. That's always what happens. There's always agreements between the Republicans and the Democrats to give more money to the government. So that's it. We have an extension of the debt ceiling, and that's always what happens. Tucker speaks in first public comments since the split from Fox. Fans plan to boycott. When asked about the future, Carlson said appetizers plus entree before driving away on his golf cart. Both Fox and Carlson have been mum over the split. We learn from this little interview that Tucker is basically still employed by Fox, so he's being benched, basically. He has canceled his own subscription to Fox News Nation. He says, I just canceled my Fox Nation subscription with the note, no Tucker Carlson. Oh, no, that is the statement of Scott Moorfield. So he said, no Tucker Carlson, no Fox Nation subscription, goodbye. Who's doing the same? That was the statement by Moorfield. As far as Tucker, we learned that he is he's basically being benched, which leads me to ask, is it possible that someone put an amount of money on the head of Tucker Carlson? Because if you're Fox News and someone comes to you and says, okay, Tucker Carlson, how much do you pay for him? Let's say they pay him a couple of millions per year, which I think it's, yeah, it was making a couple of millions per year, if I remember. Okay, how about, and how much money do you make from Tucker? How about I pay you to compensate you for all of it and even more? How about I pay you to shut Tucker down? And I just want you to cut his show, but keep your contractual arrangement with him such that he's not active during the next election cycle. Because it looks like if his continuing contract still applies, he would not be allowed to go into a competitor platform. So right now he's lawyering up and he's setting up with lawyers to negotiate the settlement and the leaving of Fox News. He's making $10 million per year. $10 million. So he was making a lot of money. But someone can come above the top and say, hey, shutting down Tucker Carlson is worth $50 million to me. So what if Fox News is put in that seat and they have all these public reasons that they can invoke? They have the lawsuit, the Abby Grossberg type of stuff. They have the Dominion stuff. So they can use the chaos to eventually justify it, basically the shutting down of a voice that would have mattered for the right wing in 2024. So I don't know. I don't know if, unfortunately, we never get to know about these dark flows of money. An ex-Fugees rapper, Pras Mitchell, found guilty in a scheme to help China influence the U.S. government. He was found guilty and he could have up to 20 years in jail with 10 criminal counts relating to an international conspiracy reaching the highest levels of the U.S. government. He was basically trying to be the middleman between Barack Obama or Donald Trump and a Malaysian businessman, Zhou Low, and the Chinese government to gain access to various US officials. And I'm looking at this and I'm like, this guy did unsuccessfully what Hunter Biden has done successfully. So why are they going after him? Is it because they're really worried about China influence onto the US government? Or is it because this guy is competition to the job that they want to be purely monopolized by Hunter Biden? Because there's much more evidence that Hunter Biden was not only doing all these things, going to foreign officials, giving them access to US politicians, establishing deals of pay for play in the process. Hunter Biden has done all of this, and it's all so strongly evidenced. We even have how they were talking about it. They were talking about 10% for the big guy. They were talking about Joe Biden that way. So I can't believe that this guy will have potentially 20 years in prison and that Hunter Biden is still walking free. At this point, you know, the fight between various persons in the social media, they look alike so much, they look like each other so much, that at this point I can't even remember if I saw it before. But that is a fight involving a telephone hit to the head. I think I've seen this before. So a hotel manager of some sort hitting on the customer on the head because the customer was being annoying. Why? How can you reach the point where, as part of your employment, you want to get into such fight? I think the strongest point I could ever reach is really just minimal self-defense. Just neutralize the other person on the ground if they're becoming threatening or attacking me. And that's it. But clearly, these people are going at it with a different level of motivation. Robert Kennedy, DK Shadow says, Jeff is right about there always being an annoying screaming in this video. We were hearing it. Shit! Shit! Oh, shit! The crazy! It's like, give me the documentary journal. We don't have journalists anymore. That's the problem. We don't have real journalism. Real journalism is like, I'm going to keep silent for the facts to emerge on the screen as unaffected as possible. Robert F. Kennedy is saying Twitter files reveal that the Pentagon has partnered with Vanguard in $1 billion project to censor free speech in America. Are any of my fellow Democrats troubled? Well, you're leading a losing fight, Robert. Sorry, but the left has abandoned the idea of caring about principles and free speech a long time ago. And you're talking to a very different crew at this point. That's why it's almost an irregularity that someone like Robert Kennedy would try to be leading the Democrat Party. because the Democrat Party went full in with the vaccine. Just you being an anti-vax is already disqualifying you from this side of politics. Musk slams DNC's backroom dealing as committee remains silent on primary debates. We will do our best to support candidates from all parties so that the public may make the most informed choice. Far too much backroom dealing seems to be happening. This is in reaction, of course, to the fact that we learned that the Democrats will not be hosting primary debates, and that is totally a typical establishment move. They want Joe Biden to win, so they're not going to give visibility to Robert Kennedy, of course. That was expected. What else do we have before we close the show? Gender medicine is harming young people. Some doctors claim that we must always affirm a young person's gender identity.
Just starting to get on social media in 2008, and specifically I was on Tumblr, and that's probably the very first time I ever heard the term transgender and had an idea of what this concept of gender identity meant.
Teenage me was like, oh my God, this is the answer. This is it. I'm gender dysphoric. I was meant to be more male.
I felt like it answered questions. It answered the question, why was I being bullied when I was in elementary school? Oh, it must have been because I was transgender.
I didn't like being a woman. I didn't like being perceived as a woman. I absolutely despised my body.
I found it very difficult to relate to other men because they're all, you know, they're all into drinking, they're all into fighting. This is all part of gender dysphoria.
The therapist said she does not want to gatekeep me on anything. And she had my letter to transition right away after my first session with her.
What happened is they took me to this person and he affirmed my trans identity within two appointments, really the first appointment. And I think it was the third appointment that he suggested I start testosterone.
I never had a formal diagnosis. I was never diagnosed with gender dysphoria formally. I was never given explorative therapy. There was no discussion.
At first, it was a positive thing that I had this label of like androgyny and being genderqueer.
When I first started the cross-sex hormones and the depression was still there, I thought it's because I haven't transitioned enough, so I'll get the surgery. And then I got the double mastectomy and the depression and self-hatred was still there.
I don't have male genitals anymore. They're gone. And I almost immediately regretted that.
Taking the testosterone for as long as I did, which was just over 4.5 years, has led to bladder problems.
Yeah, the detransitioner, always extremely moving story, but at the same time, holy shit, have these people caused their own demise. It's so sad that the trap is there. That the medical trap is there to give them what they want to hear. But at the same time, people should just be aware that when you go request stuff to a doctor, it's not the doctor just taking you in charge, and you should always be following what's happening, and you should be conscious that the decisions you take have impacts on you, and you're going to be the one paying the price, not the doctor. Detroit Hall says they truly were victims. They were just children. Yes, there's this aspect that there shouldn't be a push onto children. But, you know, it mostly happens in a time where you would expect someone to be rational enough to be able to see these things coming. Like, okay, you're being given all sorts of molecules to change who you are. I understand that we should still think of it as non-consensual, but I know that between 13 and 18, I would know that something is dangerous for me. You're not totally deprived of capacity to think at this age. Breaking 9/11, GOP members accused Zoe Zephyr of hate-filled testimony. So this trans politician, that is the part of her speech that got her banned from the floor, the House floor.
And the only thing I will say is if you vote yes on this bill and yes on these amendments, I hope the next time there's an invocation, when you bow your heads in prayer, you see the blood on your hands.
And so it seems that it was good enough as a reason for the politicians to eject her from the House floor for the rest of the year. Florida has officially overturned the resign to run. So they are creating the steps so that Ron DeSantis would be able to run for presidency while remaining a governor of Florida. So that will be an interesting dynamic, because on the one hand, it shows that he's not fully willing to, you know, give up everything. So he doesn't believe in his chance so much that he's willing to give up his governor position. But I think that long term, it's interesting, the idea that we would see a state well managed, and the good management of your state would be kind of a springboard to say, hey, we want to see this at the national level. It's been happening before that governors run, and that people who have been governors run. But in the case of Ron DeSantis, he will be able to do it as he stays governor. Now, it seems that the facts of the surveys are indicating that he has zero chance against Trump. But yeah, and I agree. I think he doesn't have much chance, but I would like him to have a chance. Because with Trump, we're not going to get any sort of social conservatism other than a little bit on the immigration question. I'm clearing my voice a lot. My throat is getting dried. Could social media bill lead to a backdoor for Biden administration and big tech to spy on American children? Critics claim push to bar kids under 13 from using platform will allow massive accumulation of data. It's confusing as a theory. So they want to ban kids from certain platforms like TikTok, but then it would lead to accumulation of data. I guess they're arguing they would have to know that you're a kid to ban you, and therefore they would know that your IP is a kid. And therefore, they could associate your browsing history with a kid. Okay. Forex Shark says, JF, do you prefer Ron or Trump overall? I prefer Ron DeSantis. Not by much. And I'm not enthusiastic at either. But with Ron DeSantis, we have vaccine opposition. The simple fact that Trump, in the situation that the vaccine was, completely failed at calling this attack by the expert. It shows a lack of wisdom of Trump with respect to his image in the mainstream media, with his desire to please to everyone, including the left. So for this reason, Trump has shown himself that in the heat of the moment, his narcissism takes over and he wants to even please the left, and he's willing to give up his principles for it. Because when we elected Trump, it was under a kind of Trump that was tweeting, Mark Selofir, don't say things like this because I'll have to ban you. Trump had been tweeting about the link between autism and vaccine, which, whether you think it's real or not, this link, it's based to be asking the question. It's based to be objected to vaccines. But when he was in power, he was unable to continue this anti-vax position. And he thought it was clever of him to take the leftist operatives that Dr. Fauci is, welcome him in the White House and say, I'm going to listen to whatever you say. Well, by saying this, he has let Dr. Fauci destroy the entire economy for the whole end year of President Trump. And he had, by doing so, given the American people no reason to vote for him again. Because it's if you're going to let the operatives of the expert class of the technocrats take over America just like Biden would, what's the difference? I'm going to get Biden. At least he's not saying that he's going to do anything else. He's okay, Mark, so you are banned. What an annoying individual. So with DeSantis, we get someone who has been developing a special approach to the culture war, using the force of politics to really do advances. Even if you want to claim that these advances are symbolic, and a lot of them are symbolic, he still masters the use of the culture war to go after the leftist in the same way that the leftists are going at us. So he has a program of vengeance. Now, I don't think he's going to be any more impressive on the side of the deep state that Trump was. I think he's a man of the machine at this point. I don't hear anything based from him on the side of FBI, CIA, geopolitics. And so I expect him to be just as bad as Trump on this front, which is why neither of these candidates are very exciting to me. But with Ron DeSantis, we would make some advance on the culture war. We would clean out the federal programs that basically force states to take a leftist direction. Because it's the whole devil in the machine here in the US, where the federal government cannot control things like health and certain aspects of education. But what they can do is they can make grants, and they give grants to schools, and they give grants to hospitals. But these schools and hospitals have to meet certain standards. And what do you find when you look into the standard? Oh, yeah, you have to let trans women into the woman bathroom, that kind of stuff. So the federal government is imposing with money. It's basically extorting states to not live in the way they want. And to have someone like Ron DeSantis to basically make a big cleaning of all these programs that seek to enforce ideological stances onto states, that would be very practical. I think we would come out of a 4-year with Ron DeSantis in a better state for the culture war than we currently are, and then we would be with Trump. Mark D says, salut JF, thanks for the show. Well, thanks for your donation. Megan Kelly thinks it was a terrible move by Fox to get rid of Tucker. I agree. They really got rid of their biggest talent. Fauci admits Aurelian mandates fueled anti-vax sentiment. No, you don't say. I'm happy that he's recognizing it, but he should have known this at the start. Man, I think almost paradoxically, says Fauci, you had people who were on the fence about getting vaccinated thinking, why are they forcing me to do this? I said that. I told them that at the beginning of the pandemic. I said, you're actually going to get a lower rate of vaccination than with the vaccines that you don't make a big case around. The vaccines that you don't make a big case around, they're getting 90-95% rate of vaccination. You want to be the authoritarian and the big pressure establishment and use all your institutional strength to intimidate people, you're going to get less than 60%. And that's what we've seen. Amazing that the expert class couldn't see what I could call out from the very beginning of this whole thing. a black man who has shot a white six-year-old and her parents after a basketball rolled into his yard, told victims he doesn't like white people. Yeah, that's a very shocking story. Thankfully, I believe that the parents and the girl have survived. But it's a terrible story where a basketball rolling onto the land of the black guy, and somehow the black guy probably has accumulated hate against these neighbors for years, doesn't like them because they're white, and it looks like we are in an attempt at killing based on racist priors against white people. I've always wondered whether the corporate gift cards that people buy at Starbucks and Walmart, whether they get claimed at all. Well, Starbucks just claimed $181 million in revenue from unused gift cards and loyalty credits. So at some point, they're like, okay, this has been given years away. It's probably been lost in the trash and been not claimed by people who forgot about it. So we will consider it our money starting now. That is a lot of money. This $181 million amounts to about 1% of the sales of the year and 4.3% of its net income during the year. So that is a massive amount of money that just got lost in the process of gift giving and these cards getting lost. It's free money that they can enjoy. Disclose that TV reports court bans Telegram messaging app in Brazil. Phone operators and app stores must remove the app immediately. Haven't we seen this news item again and again? And at some point they were banning it, and then there was Bolsonaro wanting it to be debanned, and then they were rebanning it with the Supreme Court. Well, they're back at it again. Telegram banned in Brazil. I mean, who cares? Who cares about Brazil, the asshole of the universe? DK Shadow says, you should start selling gift cards, JF. Yeah, it seems that it's an interesting business. Gift cards for future super chats. And I get the money and you forget about it and I don't even have to answer your super chat. Capitalism, I love it. Before we close the show, ChatGPT, describe the beginning of the universe in emoji only. Some background radiation, Big Bang, swirling of galaxies, formation of galaxies, formation of stars. Stars start moving and converging within the spiral galaxies. Describe the history of the world using emojis. We start with the planet forms. We get vegetarian dinosaurs, carnivorous dinosaurs, trees are growing, water and oceans are emerging, the sun is powering the plants. We get the Middle Ages with castles. We get lots of fighting and explosions. We get sword fights in the Middle Ages. Jewish bankers come in and start exchanging money. Farmers are not so interested in money. They are just tending their gardens. Then the laptop gets invented. And then the earth starts being the world starts being a global entity all around the earth. People are connected through laptops, so much so that the earth becomes virtual, and there is a virtual net created of the earth. But there's also global warming because we're using so many of these computers. People start taking giga drugs that helps them survive the warming, but then there are some people who escape through a rocket, and then we meet aliens on our way out of our burning planet. That is the history of the world, according to ChatGPT, a leftist mind.
We'll be right back.